Let us now turn to the Word of God for our instruction together. We turn to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 15. The book of Proverbs and the 15th chapter. This is the Word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear His Word together. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His Word. May the Lord give us an understanding of His Word. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the ways of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it! The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life, abiding among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Amen. This is God's holy, infallible, inerrant and sacred word, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious word, and may he be glorified in the ministry of his word. May the Lord grant his enabling and all to the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our very needful and never dying souls. Young adults, I turn your prayerful attention once again to those words which I read to you in your hearing. If you turn there now in the book of Proverbs and the chapter 15, and I'm just going to read again the verses 31 to the verse 33. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. And I want to address you this evening upon this subject of how the wise listen well, how the wise listen well, and how fools do not listen. And of course, there will be, God willing, as well as instruction to Christians, the gospel address as well. We want to think upon this subject. And the main lesson, I suppose, this evening is to grasp the vital importance of biblical wisdom, true biblical wisdom, wisdom that comes from God. It is God that teaches. God is the teacher of his people, not so much the preacher, although the preacher has much to say from the word of God. And of course, ultimately, we must listen with a meek and a humble spirit. We must come and we must listen to God's counsel. I would not be a faithful minister tonight if I weren't ministering God's word, and that is simply my aim, is to not project myself, but to put forth God's word. We must receive God's counsel if we are ever to have even everlasting life. It begins there by listening to God. The unbeliever does not listen to God. He doesn't listen to a word of God. He may hear it, but he won't heed it. Now, I'm told that in the last few years, well, I suppose in the last few years, I don't have a television. I got rid of my television a little while ago, but I hear it more and more that these talent shows and competitions on television, there's been a great explosion of them. Many people are watching and even taking part in these talent shows and these sort of things where you can go on and you can show the world what your talents, what your gifts are. And many young people indulge in these things because they believe that they have tremendous gifts. And I want to say, first of all, that Christians really shouldn't watch these things, let alone partake in them. It's not the sort of thing for the Christian ever to engage in, firstly, because of pride. A lot of that is pride, vaunting yourself, showing yourself on these programs and wanting to be famous, etc. But secondly, if we're a Christian, God hasn't saved us to glory in ourselves, has he? He has saved us to glory in him and to glorify him in our lives, not to draw attention to ourselves. And we have to apply this. We can apply it to even the clothing that we wear. Even the clothing that we wear. I'm not saying we should go around wearing very morbid clothes and having morbid looks on our faces. No, we should be cheerful people. But our clothing shouldn't be drawing attention to body beautiful or great bronze men. But we should be glorifying God. Now, coming back to these television shows, you know, perhaps you've heard or perhaps you've even watched some of them. How many young people go on these shows and they go with great enthusiasm. And all too often, it's because they have the wrong view of themselves. They have such a high view of their abilities and talents. And then when they get on this show, instead of impressing others and taking the world by storm and making a great impression, when the judges evaluate them with fair scrutiny, well, it ends up in an embarrassing scene sometimes, and to much of the embarrassment of everyone else that has to watch these things. How did it begin? Pride, self-deception. And it's true, I've just used that as an illustration on a far wider and grander scheme of things. We all have a problem with pride and with self-evaluation. We have issues with pride. And you know, when those people, many of the young people, some of them older, trying to be very young, when they're corrected by the judges, well, it's the judges' fault. You didn't like me. You don't appreciate my talents. It's all because of that self-estimation that is too high. And then they criticize others. But that is true of every one of us in the realms of life. When people try to correct us, we criticize other people. Well, you don't really know everything. We can be very critical of those who come and give us counsel with wrong relationships. Don't get involved with this person, don't do this, don't do that. We become very, very critical. This can be true in terms of the realms of decisions that we make. And other people see us making a decision and going down a path in life, and they come with godly concern and they tell us and they speak to us, and well, we pretend to know more than them. We don't listen to their advice. We don't listen to their helpful opinions. We think that we're more wise than them. And how dare they tell us to listen? Well, you know, Solomon was given these words by the Holy Spirit. In fact, most of the Proverbs are directed to his son, but they are also directed to us as sons of God, daughters of God. Solomon longed to give Rehoboam counsel. My son, he's always addressing, my son. And that's true every time we read God's word. If we're a Christian, God is addressing us, my son, my daughter. And so coming back to Solomon, trying to give his son Rehoboam advice. But you know what? Rehoboam didn't take his advice. You know what happened when Solomon died? He took the advice of all the young men. Didn't take the advice of the older men, the wiser men, the godly men. And what happened? He lost the kingdom. And so it is for those who don't listen to godly advice. Or they'll go around asking advice, but it's with those that will agree with them. That's foolish. And the fool will always do that. People say, you know, well, I follow my heart. But you know what Jeremiah says by the Spirit? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. The world tells you, just follow your heart. Do what your heart says. Well, friends, your heart can convince you that you're right, but you can be altogether wrong. The whole of the Bible has so much to say on deception. And you think of it, if our first parents, Adam and Eve, well, certainly Eve was deceived, as we are told, and we believe that she was a much higher being than we are. As fallen people, how easily we can be self-deceived and fall into great sin. And the Bible is constantly warning us again and again. Lean not on thine own understanding. But even in this chapter, and throughout the Word of God, what the Word of God is saying to us, listen to me. Take my advice. Don't be proud. The Word of God exhorts us to listen to Him. It instructs us to draw near to Him. Lean not on thine own understanding. Come to God's Word. And who is God's Word? God's Word is also a person. He's called the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, the verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is wisdom. Whenever we study the Word of God, we learn Christ. We really are learning about what it is to be, how God originally made man in His image. And if we despise, as we even read in these closing verses, if we despise wisdom, we despise our own soul. Verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Your soul that is made, dear friend, in the image of God. Your soul that will live forever and forever. Christ is the wisdom of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1, the verse 30, the apostle by the Spirit of God says, Jesus Christ, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom. He is wisdom. If you just turn for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8, and here in Proverbs 8, it really is speaking about Christ, who is wisdom. And really, if we're going to be wise, we have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, just show you for a minute. Proverbs 8, 14, this is wisdom speaking. But it's personified. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. And then you come down to the verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Come down to the verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. You see, this wisdom has a heart, and he is called the Lord Jesus. He delighted in the sons of men. He delighted in those whom he was going to save, those whom he was going to come into this world and justify by his own righteousness. Those who he was going to bear sins he was going to bear in his own body on the cross. He is wisdom. And so when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom. This one who says here in Proverbs that the Father possessed him in the beginning. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Before there was anything, what was there? There was God. Verse 30, I was by him. And God is wisdom in the person of the Lord Jesus. I was by him. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is the same one. You see, and let me begin here, we must begin with the gospel. Those of you who are not saved, if you're ever to have wisdom, it must be through that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the one by whom we have access. We have no righteousness of our own. We are dirty, filthy sinners. But he was the Word who was made flesh. John chapter 1, the verse 14. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that it pleased God that he should come in the flesh of his Son and bear the sins of his people, that we might have a relationship with him. That's where wisdom really begins, by being united to God. And then we begin to walk in wisdom. But you see, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you have not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, you have no wisdom. We sang, didn't we, from Psalm 2. And at the end of the psalm there, the psalmist says, O ye kings, be wise. And then what does he say? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish in the way. You see, wisdom begins by kissing, by embracing, by bowing the knee, by honoring the Lord Jesus, the creator of the world, creator of all things, sustainer of all things, and humbly bowing the knee and confessing that you're a great sinner, but coming to him who God has made wisdom for us, as Paul says, that we might be restored to God. So that's really where wisdom begins. I would say, those of you who aren't converted, who aren't saved, don't begin anywhere else. It begins by the one who says, come and learn of me. We have to learn, first of all, that we're unclean. And there is no uncleanness in him. That's one thing we've got to learn, first and foremost, that we are all of sin and all sinful, but he is the altogether clean and lovely one, and who will give us wisdom in this life. Now, many people think that they are above Christ. Oh, yes, they do. But friends, think of this. He who is God humbled himself and became a man. He humbled himself for his people, that one day he might exalt them to live with him in heaven. That's wisdom. And that's love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And all true wisdom is to look away from yourself and to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to find in him all the treasures and riches and the wisdom of God and to realize that you need him. Oh, how I need him. How you need him. We need him. Why? Because life is bound up in him, in this messy world of sin. You see, we cannot make sense of this world. We cannot make sense of anything without Jesus Christ. Oh, we cannot. All of life and wisdom is found in knowing Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, friends, that's where you begin. Coming to him who is the altogether blessed one, the one of wisdom. Christ has become for us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to live close to God, read more of Christ's Word. Study the Bible. What you will find is that as you study the Word of God, it all reveals him more and more. The more you read it, sometimes you'll look at passages and you didn't realize how much of Christ there is there. And then we find out more. The closer we draw near, we see more of Christ. And this is why the apostle says to Christians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, with all understanding. But if we don't have that, let me tell you this, we'll make great fools of ourselves. You want to know how to be a fool? Don't listen. Don't listen to God's word. Don't listen to Christ. Don't listen to anything I have to say, because I'm going to be speaking this evening from the word of Christ, from the word of Almighty God. Now, the big element of wisdom is this, is listening. Listening is so vital. You know, even the world says this. It's quite strange how the world even knows this. There's a saying in the world, it doesn't come from the Bible, says you have two ears and one mouth. Use them in proportion. Very true, isn't it? The world will tell you that. Talk less, listen more. And that's very true. If we want to be wise, we have to learn to listen. And the book of Proverbs, it really begins by telling us that true wisdom is seeking guidance from the very best source. And there is no better source than God's word, is there? The psalmist says, "Thy word is light, it's a lamp to our feet." Proverbs 1:4 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning." See, he's learning. He's listening. "And a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels." The fool, he'll go around and he'll talk to fools because they all agree with him. You know, we're not wise in ourselves. We're not born clever. Wisdom is not something that's natural to us. The fact we read in Proverbs, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. You have to teach children how to be kind, to tidy their room, to obey their parents. These things don't come naturally, do they? And we continue on, unless we're saved, we continue to reject the counsels of God's word. But God's people listen. The fool won't receive a wise counsel. He'd rather listen to fools. And he'll talk all day. But notice the verse 31. Opposite is true of the wise. The ear that heareth, verse 31 of chapter 15, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. The phrase there, the reproof of life, that may be any reproof in life. But there is one first and foremost great reproof of life. And the word of God tells us that you're on the road to destruction. That's the first reproof that the Bible gives us. When the Lord Jesus began preaching, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent ye and believe the gospel." We have to repent. That's the reproof that we've sinned. And all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Nobody is born good. Absolutely nobody is born good. Oh, we think we are. Like those young people on the talent shows, or even the older ones who should have grown up and learnt by now and stopped making a fool of themselves. I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy certain things, but we don't want to make fools of ourselves, do we? And we're not here in this life to glory in ourselves and to vaunt ourselves. And you notice, even some of these people that win these talent shows, it's so embarrassing to watch them because they're so full of pride. And so, friends, let me say, in reality, we are not good. Even when there's good there, we take all the credit for it. Paul once thought he was good. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, went around putting Christians into prison. Then the Lord saved him, struck him down, humbled him, made him to see his sin. And then he could say, "In me dwelleth no good thing." No good thing. I wonder if you've been brought to that place. But you know, we can so easily be offended. People are offended. You tell them that they're sinners. And I'm addressing you all tonight, but I don't know what you're thinking in your heart. Those of you who aren't saved, the Word of God says you're a sinner. And you're a vile sinner. But the reproof of life is this, that there is no good thing in you. That's the great and the grand reproof of life. Think of those words there in Matthew 7. As the Lord Jesus, he gets to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this, he says in the verse 13, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." He says there's a broad road. He says you need to enter in by the narrow gate. He is the narrow gate. He is wisdom. He is the way to God. You've got to get into that narrow, constricted gate. And that means you can't take any of your self-righteousness. You can't take anything in there. You have to humble yourself as a sinner and repent and believe that He is the only way to God. Through His life, through His obedience, through His righteousness, that He is availed for sinners. And you have to take everything off of that gate. You can't get through that narrow, constricted, turnstile gate. He says, and then you enter in the narrow way. And the narrow way is knowing that all wisdom is bound up in the Lord Jesus. And He says, there are few that enter in thereat. That's the reality of it all. God says there are not going to be many that are in that road. That's the wisdom, and we have to acknowledge that while the world and maybe even your friends might congratulate you and tell you you're a good person, and even your grandmother might tell you you're a good person, don't believe her, because God says it's not true. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, and all come short of the glory of God. But you see, the reality is that most people don't listen to the voice of reason from God's word. Most people reject that. When God says they have sinned, they say, oh yes, but not as much as others. God sees everything about your life. And that's the mindset, isn't it, of those that are going to a lost eternity. And you notice verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. You don't care about your soul. You don't care about eternity. You don't care about anything. You are not only self-deceived, but you're self-harming. He despiseth his own soul. Therefore, the word of God exhorts us. Be wise, therefore. Be instructed. Psalm 2:10. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. But blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's wisdom, isn't it? That's where you begin. So how do you get to be a fool? Just don't listen. Don't listen to God's word. And you'll bring ruin upon your soul, and you'll continue to shun God's counsel and his word. You see, it all starts, doesn't it, with not listening. Not listening to God. How can I be a fool? This is not a message on how you can be a fool, but certainly how you can avoid being a fool. And my first counsel is to you is to listen, truly listen with a heart, not with half an ear, and say, well, I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to go before him and confess my sins and acknowledge my unrighteousness before him and ask him for mercy and pray that he might save me. You want to be a fool? Don't listen to anything God's word. Just listen to yourself. That's how you can be a fool. Just listen to yourself. Don't listen to the minister. Go to church every Sunday, but don't listen to the minister. Don't read your Bible. You want to be a fool? But where is wisdom? It's telling us, receives, notice the verse 30, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Oh yes, and the wise will live forever. They're God's people. One has rightly said that the wise are willing to admit their mistakes. You see, and this is where you've got to begin. In life, you have to admit not just your mistakes, but your sins. Sins are not just mistakes we've made, but the heart. It's getting to the core of the problem. You talk to people in life, they say, oh yes, I've just made a whole lot of mistakes. I had a bad beginning, and I had bad parents, and I went to a bad school. And I just, you know, fortune wasn't on my side, they say. No. We have to admit that there is a sin problem, that we've strayed from God, even from the womb. Not just admitting mistakes, but confessing our sin and coming before God. Then you begin to make progress, dear friend. But it's so true, let me move on from that. It's true in the Christian life. Once we've begun, you know, the problem has not gone away of the heart. The heart continues to be deceitful. Many young Christians don't listen to the wise and godly counsel of others. They're pastors. They don't listen to the minister. They don't listen to older Christians, or they might go around and ask for advice. But again, they ask people that are going to agree with you. And so you'll approach them. We need this counsel continually, don't we, from God's word. Maybe you know these things tonight, but you need to hear them again and again and again, because we've got such a propensity to deceiving ourselves. Even as Christians, you may have been a Christian for many years. Sin is still there. And we need Christ. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. Who do we get counsel from? Where do we first of all go for counsel? Is it God's word? And when we don't understand God's word, do we find the most godly people that we know? Not just people that we're going to agree with us. Well, friends, it's important that we form good relationships and good friendships. You know, you can know somebody by their friends. You can tell a lot by what kind of friends you have. You may have a lot of friends, but how close are you to them? And how close are they to God? We have to be trained not only by God's word, but we have to train ourselves to put ourselves around the most godly people we know. People that cling tenaciously to this word. Maybe you're a Christian and you're looking to make a decision now in your life. You have to make a decision. Where should I go to university? Where should I go and worship? What should I do? Where should I go and work? I'm making a decision. Now, on what basis are you making that decision? Is it based on what your heart wants? Or what God's word is really directing you to do? The heart, again, is deceitful. Sometimes we make decisions very subtly. We know we're making a decision because we like or we prefer to go down this avenue, this path. It's not necessarily wrong, but we've not made the decision based on God's word. We're not being directed there by God or by godly counsel, people giving you advice. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Listen, younger people, to older Christians. Listen to them very carefully. Even younger ministers, you know, they won't take the advice of older ministers, more experienced ministers, who have made mistakes and they wish they hadn't. It's so easy, isn't it? You see, one of our problems is we are self-deceived. It still doesn't go away, even when we are saved. When we're unsaved, we're self-deceived. But even when we're saved, we can still, that sin hasn't gone. It's not totally been eradicated. But we can be self-deceived and we start to tell ourselves, I'm making this choice because of this. Whereas we're not making this choice because of what we claim we're making the choice, the basis on which we're making the choice. And then when somebody corrects us, we have a second problem. The second problem is pride. That doesn't go away as a Christian, does it? Who do they think they are telling me what to do? I've been a Christian now all these years. How dare they tell me? When you think of Moses, he's described as the meekest man that lived, apart, of course, from the Lord Jesus. Moses took the advice from Jethro, his father-in-law. Now, this man wasn't even walking with the people of God. I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but he had some practical advice for him that was good. But he wasn't so proud to say, well, I'm not going to listen to what this man has to say. You know, you can sometimes even learn something from people who are in the world. I'm not saying that you should follow any of their principles, certainly none of their lifestyles. But sometimes they can have very clear things, they see things, and sometimes we can't see the wood for the trees, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And we think, well, because I'm a Christian, I'm not going to even listen to a word that person is going to say. What is that? It's pride, isn't it? And what is worse, you let down your Christian witness when somebody who is even unsaved sees something blatantly obvious with your life. What kind of a witness is that? It's no witness at all, is it? As Christians, we may even receive the reproof from somebody from the world. Doesn't mean to say that You know, we're going to, as I said, listen to everything they say. We certainly don't follow their lifestyles, their patterns, and the things they teach. But dear friends, we have to listen. Because, you know, they'll never listen to us if we can't listen to even just clear, sound advice from people. We let our witness down. And again, as I said, not only is wisdom not bound up in us, it's not there. Foolishness, as the Word of God says, is bound up in the heart of a child. You have, just as parents have to train their children, they born sinful, they born naughty, and you soon discover that, and you have to correct them and you have to teach them. It's the same way as a Christian. You have to train in the way of righteousness, and you have to go, it's a discipline. Because if you don't, what's going to come? Pride goeth before destruction. And then there's a fall. It's awful. We have to listen. But we have to be trained. We have to learn. We need godly guidance. But by nature, we're very proud. You know, you talk to a fool, somebody who thinks they know it all, you won't get a word in edgewise. And then when you've got a moment to speak, and you're speaking, he's just waiting till you take your breath. And then he immediately jumps in, and on it goes. But he's never listening to you. And some people are like that. They've already made their decision. And you can speak to them forever. They still not listen. Why? Because they determine to do what they want to do. And they determine not to be wrong, because when you fall in pride, it's very painful, isn't it? It is always painful. And so we have to learn to walk gently as Christians with each other. But remember this, sometimes you have to just leave fools in their own folly. And the book of Proverbs warns us about this many times, because often these people will hurt you. You're trying to help them, but then they'll come back and they'll bite you. And they'll hurt you and talk behind your back. A wise man, as we read here, receiveth reproof of life. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth the reproof getteth understanding. It's wonderful to have understanding, isn't it? When you have understanding, you don't fall in life. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a great fall for those that will not listen. There's going to be a great day of falling, where God's anger and his wrath will come and will fall down upon the impenitent. And there will be great shame, especially as you've heard the word of God so many times. And you know it. So don't despise the correction of the Bible. Don't despise the one who is wisdom and who says, I am come that they may have life. And it's a dear friend, isn't it, that comes alongside and corrects you and gently leads you. And the Lord Jesus is very gentle with his people. And a good pastor should be very gentle with his people. Surround yourself with those who fear God. But the fool, he won't. He won't listen. And be sure of it, he will associate with those who just affirm his own position. And on he will go. And I ask you, what about you tonight? Who are your associates? Who are your friends? Those who you are close to, your companions, who are they? There's a hymn we sing, Make Friends of God's People. Oh, it's so important, because they'll lead you. They won't harm you. A friend loveth at all times, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. They are the ones you should be nearest to. But above all, you should bow and come to the one who is wisdom, the one who is leading them and guiding them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or don't listen to the ungodly. The world is full of pride. The world will tell you how to really just enjoy yourself, reject God, live it up. But I tell you, none of that will end up in happiness. Look at all these rock stars, movie people. They're not really happy. Many of them get married, soon they divorced. Then they're on drugs. Then they're on the next fix. Then they're on something else and something else. Never happy. Can money, can the pleasures of this world bring you happiness? No, it can't. Only the Lord Jesus, who said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you heavy laden in your sin? heavy laden maybe in the world that can't give you satisfaction. The world won't bring any lasting satisfaction and joy. My dear friends, wisdom is bound up in this person, the Lord Jesus. He is altogether wise because he is God. Read his word. But you must begin with him. You must begin by coming to him and seeking him, his pardon, his forgiveness, his favor, and eternal life, which he gives. Notice again, verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. God is the one that gives instruction, but if you despise him, you hate your own soul. It's not only hating it, but you're harming it. You're only living a half a life, really. You're living for the body. There's the other half, isn't there? Your soul. Your never dying soul. You'll be here just for a few years, really. Just a few years. Life is very, very short. Passing away. Life, James says, is like a vapor. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow, and then we're swept into eternity. The Lord Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Who are you seeking the approval of? The world? Your friends? Or God? When you go to church, what are you looking for? Are you looking for God? Are you looking to hear from him? Are you looking for people? A lot of people just go to church because they want to meet people. That's the wrong reason to go, isn't it? The right reason to go is to go to God, who gives life and who gives wisdom and who gives everything and who gives all things richly and freely to enjoy. You know, if you seek God first and his way, not your desires, he'll fill your life with joy and peace, contentment, and everything. The Word of God says, the Lord is a sun and a shield. Think of a sun. What does a sun do? It gives us warmth, gives us light, gives us all we need. What would we do without the sun? Now that's the Lord. The Lord is our sun. You know, people talk about this sad disease, a lack of sunshine. What people are lacking is the Son of Righteousness that comes with healing in his wings. When you go to church, you should be seeking, what is the Lord going to say to me today? How is he going to feed me? How am I going to learn about Christ? How am I going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? How am I going to put him first in my life? And not my own desires, not my own agenda. How am I going to put him first? The Lord is a sun. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you your desires. That's what the psalmist says. He'll give thine heart's desires. When you delight in him, your desires begin to change. The Lord is a sun, but the Lord is also a shield. He'll shield you in difficult and dark times. And he'll guide you in those times of darkness. That psalm was written when David was longing to be in the house of God, but was in the wilderness because of his son. How he longed for the courts of God, the living God. And then he goes on to speak about God. In the midst of his trial in the wilderness, he said, the Lord is a sun and the Lord is a shield. The Lord was shielding him from all harm. That's wisdom, isn't it? To have God in your life, who is your sunshine, who is your warmth, who gives you life and enjoyment and pleasures far beyond what this world knows. And then he gives you protection in the darkest hours of your life because you don't know what's on tomorrow. Young people, you don't know. I don't mean to scare you, but you could be in a wheelchair next week. For the rest of your life. You know, you may be imagining. You're going to have this career. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. James says, boast not on the morrow. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But David had the Lord. And to have the Lord is to have everything. He is wisdom. It's not just to have him in this life, but it's to have him in all eternity. The Lord is not just for now, young people, but he is for all eternity. We don't want to fall in this life, do we? Especially if we're Christians. We want to walk closer to him. We want to be more humble. We want to be better Christians. We want to know our Bibles more. In that case, receive instruction from the Lord. Read his word. Make close friends with the most godly Christians you can find. And with faithful ministers, come under their ministry. Listen, be wise, but above all, kiss the Son. Continue to kiss him. Continue to love him. Continue to honor him in your life. For us as Christians, we haven't just kissed him once, but always. In Song of Solomon, we read how the bride longs to be kissed by the Lord. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And that's wonderful, isn't it? When we know we're loved by him. And he wants to love us, but we have to draw nearer to him. We have to have a more sincere walk with him. You know, church is not just about meeting people, but it's about the Lord. It's about a relationship with him, isn't it? He who is wisdom, that's wisdom. And that's life. Go wherever it is the Lord's leading you in your life to find him. The Shulamite said, oh, that I might find him. Are you looking for him? He's everywhere in the scriptures, and he's to be found even tonight by the humble soul that comes and listens to the instruction of God's word and bows and says, yes, I'm a sinner. I have greatly sinned against God. And Lord, I know I'm unworthy to approach thee, but I come and I humbly bow in thy presence and I confess my sins. Oh, well, friends, you don't have to pray those words. You pray your own words, but they must be true. And the wisdom of God is that he receives sinners truly who repent and trust in him. And then he becomes their life. Oh, may we continue if we know this life. In the Lord Jesus, may we continue on in that life. Moses said to the people, the Lord is thy life and thy length of days. And he is for us as God's people. And we will continue to listen to his wisdom and his counsel. Amen.